B-Pod Studios.
It's 4 o'clock hour on the Mike Mastinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philadelphia. 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online at landisbc.com. All right, let's start the 4 o'clock hour like we started the show. Sean Rodriguez, the quotes, the quote meister. And we have the sound, and we'll just play it and have you react to it, because there are two ways you can look at it. One, you go, yeah, you know what? His comments are righteous, because bullying doesn't help the players, and we should be backing them and be behind them instead of constantly ripping into them. And the other side is, you're a paying customer, and you're entitled to be dissatisfied. But here's Sean Rodriguez after hitting a game-winning home run last night.
What do you mean you don't know? I'm not the one booing. I'm not the one screaming. I'm not the one saying pretty disgusting things at times. That seems pretty entitled. I mean, you're just making yourself look pretty bad as an individual, as a person, as a fan. You're making guys not want to basically sit there and say, hey, they're going to support you. Hey, they're going to do this. That's tough. There's still a lot of good fans, though. And those are the ones I hear. Those are the ones I pay attention to. The few that might be behind home plate to say, hey, Sean, keep doing your thing. Don't worry about it. Things will come around. Hey, Reese. Hey, so-and-so. Hey, Bryce. Through the thick and thin, that's when you really get to show your true colors. So when you act a certain way towards somebody because you don't feel like they're doing what they need to do, just look at life in general. I mean, we want to win. There's nobody in here that doesn't want to win. You got to just basically sit there and say, man, let me see if I can't help him get out of what he's in. Let me see if I can't be encouraging enough to basically help an individual. That's the hardest thing to do. The easy thing is just to scream boo.
All right, so he's saying fans should help encourage a player who's going bad. Well, I can't argue with that. I mean, I don't know. It's either you believe that or you don't believe it.
No, it's fine, but it's how he led it. You can't lead with the generalization and the negativity and then try and give a positive message. That's just communication 101.
He comes out with entitled real quick.
Well, see, here's the thing. He misuses the word. He doesn't imply there. He is trying to say... He's confusing the word by saying that the fans feel they're entitled to say stuff. That doesn't make him entitled. An entitled person is somebody who feels above the fray. Like, the player is the entitled one. The player's reaction that they shouldn't boo me is an entitled view.
Yeah.
They're the player, and the peasants are the peasants.
Well, and that's why... Right. He is the entitled one.
But he confused, like, he was trying to say that the fans say they're entitled to say stuff, but they're two different meanings of the word entitled and entitled.
There's just so many flaws in his statement, and then trying to backtrack and say you're protecting your teammate. Okay, fine. Then you can't lead with negativity when you're trying to do that.
And there's video online now, him cursing out umpires and stuff when he was with Pittsburgh. How come he wasn't leading with love and being light and being nice? The umpires are just trying to do a good job. Be nice to them, Shawnee.
Well, he's being competitive.
Oh, well.
Being competitive bonds you with fans.
Right, but a certain amount is the fans are also, that's their way of being competitive. They were ready for that game to end at that point. I was sitting there thinking, all right, here we go. Two cracks at it. When he popped up, it was disappointing.
Yeah.
I'm not a boo guy, but that I understand why you were booing that moment. And it wasn't, it was boos, but the whole stadium didn't boo.
I got to be honest with you, I couldn't get past after he said, hey, Sean, keep doing your thing.
Who says that? Who has said that? 610. I want to hear from one fan that has said, I've said that to Sean Rodriguez ever in my life. There's no way anyone said that, Mike, like you said earlier.
He doesn't have a thing. You gotta have a thing before you say, keep doing your thing. Right? You gotta have a thing. What's the thing?
Right. If a guy hits a striking out a lot, but he's a power hitter, there might be fans say, hey, man, just keep going up. I know you'll get a hold of one. Yeah. What's he does? Well, and he doesn't play good. He doesn't play really good defense in a bunch of spots. So it's not like anybody say, hey, man, you're helping us with the glove. Oh. He's just the guy with the glove, too. Well,
and the best part is that the original question was just about pinch hitting.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about. Sir, I'm not the one that's booing.
Matt Breen should have been like, sir, this is a Wendy's. This is an Arby's.
Come on. Popeyes.
What are you talking about?
Game-winning home run makes you strong.
And then the other sound bite, like you said, is kind of more egregious.
All right. It's good to, I find the whole thing comical. I really do. I'm not agitated like you guys are agitated.
Yeah, I
think it's amusing. I look at it like it's amusing. There's so much irony involved in this.
Right.
You know, with this dude saying it.
But I'm great. I'm actually okay with players ripping fans sometimes.
Me too.
We're not perfect. He can't. If Harper does it, if Embiid does it, if Fletcher Cox does it, okay, fine. Giroux, not him.
Let's go to the phones. Pat Ambler, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pat.
Mikey, man.
What's up, buddy? What's going on? How'd you like FanFest?
Oh, Mike, I had a blast. You know I did, Mike. It was great to hang out with you for a little while.
Yes, it was pretty cool.
Oh, man, I got to hang out with the Cubs. He gave me like 12 hugs within 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a ball. I got to meet Andrew, Sam Wilson. I got to hang out with the whole gang.
Yes.
My neighbor, Akeem. I got to hang out with everybody. But, Mike. Oh, man, I had such a good time. But anyway, I got to talk to you about these Phillies. First of all, Sean Rodriguez has no business ripping the fans. If we're going to boo, we're going to boo. We don't waver pom-poms for nobody. You're in Philly, dude. This is a tough fan base. Like, you got to get used to it. This is the most passionate fan base in the world. Like, we pay hard money. We pay for our loved ones to come see the games. And you're going to give us heat because you hit one ball and the whole time you were here. Come on, dude.
You know, he has played in rather soft fan bases. He started with the Angels, then he went to Tampa Bay, and then he went to Pittsburgh, and then very briefly in Atlanta. So he hasn't experienced the northeastern climate.
No, this is a hardcore fan base, and whether you perform well or not, you're going to hear it. You perform well, we'll give it love. If you don't, Boo City's coming at you. So, you know, the Boo Birds are coming. You're just going to have to put up with it. And, you know, like, where does he, you know, just come out at the fans like that? It's not good for the man.
We're going to play the soundbite a little later about, he's trying to justify his 1-for-20, which I find is terrible.
How's he in the lineup and not Franco? I would give Babu Brada a shot. He had a home run.
Well, he played yesterday. They're playing a left-hander tonight.
Oh, geez. But, Mike, I got a question for you. Talking about Rhys Hoskins, is he our Dak Prescott?
What do you mean?
Know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he gives you flashes. You think he's going to be this hot, flashy guy, and he comes out, you know, streaking. You're like wondering if he's going to be the real deal or not.
Well, he had been fairly consistent as a slugger. I this is a dip. He's all messed up mentally and mechanically. So he might not ever come out of it this year. I don't know.
I don't know,
we'll see. He's got a whole month to get it done.
Well, he's better figure it out soon, because, you know what I mean? Like, at one point, I thought, I'm like, nah, I'll take him over Aaron Judge. Woo-hoo. Never mind.
Yeah, he's flawed right now, and you could tell that mentally he's exhausted trying to figure it out.
All right, Mike. Hey, Mike, listen, have a great day. Hey, Tyrone, when are you coming to Ambler, brother? Me and I, Kim, are waiting, brother.
When are you coming to Ambler? Tyrone Ambler tour.
Yeah, no, he's my neighbor with my cousin.
Oh, he is?
Hakeem, he's his name.
Really?
Yeah. They're neighbors.
Hakeem lives in Ambler?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He didn't grow up in Ambler, but yeah, he lives in Ambler.
Oh, wow.
Got up out of the city.
Ambler, huh?
Yeah, he got up out of the city.
About that?
Yeah, they're neighbors.
Huh.
And those same tough questions sometimes that he asks, like, who's your top five?
Uh-huh.
He'll ask that like first thing in the morning when people are going to work. It's just like he wakes up in that mood coming up with those questions, Pat. My cousin told me.
That's funny. Can you do me a favor a little later this hour and play the Nick Saban soundbite? I saw it on Twitter yesterday. He's talking about, he's lecturing the
about the accountability thing.
Media about like giving the players a second chance.
Yeah, we'll find it.
Yeah,
we'll get it.
All right, that's only because I just want to rip Nick Saban.
Yeah,
it's nothing really like outlandish, but I just want to. I feel like ripping him. He's now Mr. Endorsement. Have you seen this? He's in an insurance commercial.
Yeah, you know why he's doing that, right?
Why is that?
Because Dabo's Q rating.
Oh, is that, it was higher?
Way higher.
But that was, like, hard to figure out. The Saban's a miserable.
Right, but last year they let people in this house. ESPN did that puff piece for him.
Yeah.
About, like, oh, how they recruit. Oh, we have pool parties at my house. I'm lovable. And now he's doing that because Dabo, they're having a lot of fun up at Clemson.
Uh-huh.
And Clemson's now beating them for players.
Saban's got a Z rating.
Yeah.
Not a Q.
I got an A.
Yeah. John in Newcastle. You're a 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike, man. Saban's a miserable. He comes from the Belichick tree. That's all you need to know.
I love the lectures he gives the press, and they just sit there like third graders, and they just take it.
I love how that Paul Feinbaum, those two hate each other. Oh, my God.
Do they? I don't like Paul Feinbaum.
He's not a favorite of mine. Yeah. But, hey, you know, Rodriguez, man, he better bring some serious earplugs tonight because they ain't going to be saying moo.
It'd be interesting. He's in the lineup tonight facing the masses. He better have a 2-for-3 tonight with
a
walk.
He's going to get blown out of that stadium tonight.
That's a tune-in moment. Tune in the second inning when he comes up. Chi-Chi.
Mike, you brought up a great movie the other day. The Jerk. I was dying when I was listening to it.
It's a pretty funny movie.
Dude, when he's trying to hitchhike, and the guy, he says, where are you going? And the guy says, to the end of the fence. And he jumps in the truck for 10 feet and gets back out.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Hey, real quick about the outfield. Then if I can ask Tyrone a fantasy football question. But we got to bring Dickerson back. I was thinking the same thing. He's a free agent, but we got to find playing time for him. But the problem is, they have a real low number on Bruce next year. They only owe him like 2.75 because Seattle's picking up the rest of the contract.
Dickerson probably won't be back then. I didn't realize it was last year.
Like he's a free agent. Bruce has a little number. Plus, you got McCutcheon coming back. But, man, oh, man, it's a shame Dickerson can't play center field because they got no center fielder for
And you know, Dickerson would probably get more money than they're willing to pay him if the best they could do for him is a platoon player. And I don't even know if they could do that for him with McCutcheon coming back.
Who is their center fielder next year?
They need one. Right now, it's Slappy.
They can't
use Slappy as an everyday player. He can't hit a lefty.
Tyrone. I know he's Tyrone's guy.
He's Tyrone's boy, man. But he cannot hit a breaking pitch from a left hander. Just last night, he flailing at it. Tyrone, you had to notice that.
You're brand new at it. The guy's going to develop. He'll be there every day next year. 150 games, center field.
You can't play him in center field as a starter.
Going to be center field next year.
It's not going to happen. Two lines have just opened. 610-632-0975. No Eagle chat today. Why? Well, we're just sitting around waiting. We're waiting for the season. We got to kill days. It's like put X's on your calendar. Remember you used to do that?
Yeah. And then the other part, Deshaun breaks his finger on his left hand, but he's not going to need surgery, and apparently he's going to play week one. So, and then the coach said all the right things about Fletcher Cox and everybody. Mm-hmm.
They're all going to be ready.
He thinks it's fair to say that. So until we get some news about somebody not being ready, no reason to really panic.
Yep. Bob in Hanover, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Hey, Mike. How's it going
today? What's going on, Bob? How you doing?
Not much. I'm a little upset at this Rodriguez character. The word that comes to mind is perspective. Now, there's a book I read every spring training. If no one's ever read it, they need to read it. And it's Hank Aaron's If I Had a Hammer. And this guy, if he read this book, it would put what his comments in perspective and make him realize how stupid he is, because Hank Aaron suffered from the fans. Him, guys like him and Wes Covington coming up in the league at that time, as difficult as it was, and just enduring fan abuse day in and day out in the early years, this guy needs to read that book, because what he's crying about is just meaningless in the big picture. And that's what upsets me the most.
Those guys are don't go back in time. You know, it's a changed world, so they're not going to go back to the struggles that the old players had. What they're looking at is their struggles, and what I would suggest is they don't have any perspective of what a fan is. Like, they don't know that a fan is scratching and clawing, most of them, to get to a ball game to see them play. They never take that inventory.
Right. Hey, can I tell a story from that book that I love?
Yeah, quickly. Go ahead.
Yeah. There was a pitcher called Hal Robofsky, the Mad Hungarian.
Yeah, I remember.
Hank Aaron was so humble. He never said anything to anybody. And Robofsky rolled off the mound and started talking to the baseball and got back on the mound and threw Hank Aaron a fastball, and Hank Aaron hit it out of the ballpark. And he said it was one of the few times rounding second he ever said anything. He yelled over the Robofsky, "Now go talk to that one." And he threw an expletive in there.
Yeah, well, players, yeah, it's a different time, obviously, because players pimp all the time now. Al Robofsky. The Mad Hungarian. Yeah, he used to have his back to the plate, head down towards center field, and all of a sudden snap into some kind of a, you know, rage as he towed the rubber.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a relief pitch.
Yeah, I like that kind of stuff.
He had that intimidation factor, but he didn't throw hard enough, actually, to intimidate.
So he's just, oh, you look tough, but you're about to throw that 89.
Yeah, he had a hard beard, and, you know, he looked mean. But, you know, let me see what his lifetime average was here. 13 years, 3.39.
That's not bad.
He's a successful relief pitcher. Yeah, he had some good years.
That's good.
I don't know if he was like a legitimate closer, but he did come in late in games. 75 for the Cardinals, 13-3. And he had 22 saves. That was his glory year. Let's go to Dennis in media. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, Mike, Miss, how you doing?
What's going on, Dennis?
Al Robofsky acted like he threw that goal on Ryan, but he didn't.
No, he didn't. He was like a 92. Yeah, you thought the train was coming, like when he like had that mad stare at you, but it didn't come out that fast.
He was trying to freak out the minor leaguers that were coming up. But I want to thank you guys for that event on Saturday, the Fan Fest. My son talked me into going to that. I'm kind of older. I was like, I don't know if I want to go down there. But I walked up and I saw all you hosts and all the producers and everybody hosting everybody and shaking hands and taking pictures. I just was blown away. And I want to thank you for taking your time off, most of the years off that day, and just spending time with the fans, the callers. And I just was blown away by the event.
I appreciate you feeling that, because that really was the genesis of the event, that we could hang out with the listeners, and that's the whole aim of it.
Yeah. Well, we were waiting in line. I'm like, dude, we're waiting in line forever here. He goes, don't worry. It'll be cool. When we walked up, and I saw you, and I was talking about the C'est La Vie house, and my son was talking about...
Oh, yeah, okay. I remember.
We were trying to get to Tyrone. Your club Tyrone got mobbed, and we got pictures with Natalie and Sam and Anthony, and I was just blown away by it. Really was. And I just want to thank you, because I listen every day. I don't really call much. But I just want to thank you. I got pictures of Deshaun and pictures of Allen Iverson. It was great. Dorsey gave us passes. We tried to watch Vicente make a 10-foot putt. He was feeling no pain. He was having a good time, you know.
Yeah.
He's actually from Lansdowne where I was.
I think he's like that without a drop of alcohol, Vicente. He's got a bag of something with him. I don't know.
He was playing to the crowd. They loved him, man. Anyway, that the event was awesome. I will definitely be back next year. But let's get to Mr. Rodriguez. I liken him to like a Democratic candidate. Mm-hmm. Who's down the stage with 20 other people. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he gets interviewed much. And he had his 15 minutes of fame. And he blew it, man. He blew it. And I actually was sitting on the couch. And they kept showing him on the screen. I'm like, please don't put him up. Please don't put him up, you know. And I was talking. As soon as I was talking bad about him, he hit it over the wall.
Smashed it!
All I could say was, hey, it was a win.
As Ben Davis would say, he barreled it up.
Here's the thing. Mr. Rodriguez, we were booing you when you were going 1-21 and batting 0-91 in August. So, we're the fans. And,
he came up to bat. There weren't any boos when he came to the plate, were there? I don't think.
I don't understand.
Like, he hasn't been relentlessly booed.
Oh, Sean, come on, Sean. Let's go, Sean. Are you kidding me?
Hey, Sean, keep doing your thing.
Keep doing your thing.
That's what he said.
Reese, you heard Reese. They asked Reese about the boo, and he said, "Hey, a win's a win." Like you hear Bryce Harper say it. When I get booed, I deserve it. And there's a guy who,
exactly, Dennis. Now Kapler has spoken today, and he said, "I don't think our fans are entitled," which is exactly what you would think he would say, Chris.
Yeah, but
he is disagreeing with his one of his players, one of his boys. But he can't. He's got to curry favor with the fan base. That's the first priority, not with Sean Rodriguez.
Now, if Sean comes up to bat, two men on, no outs. So
and he pops up?
No, no.
What?
Are they already booing him?
When he comes to the
nobody
in
out.
That situation, I don't know if they'll boo him.
Okay.
But if he comes up with nobody on, he's going to get booed tonight.
Yeah.
If it's not a crucial situation and they have license to boo, they will give him a little something.
All right? Yeah, he'll deserve it.
Yeah, what that guy was talking about, the last caller. I have a neighbor at the shore. It's the same neighbor I had the tree problem with.
You got another? What happened?
No. It's not a problem. It's just they put letters on the front of their door that said, "C'est la vie."
Oh, boy.
Oh.
As in, like,
c'est la vie?
C'est la vie.
Not c'est la vie. They put C because it's on the shore. S-E-A la vie.
Oh. It's kind of cute.
It's not cute.
I don't care for that one bit.
First of all,
cares.
Labeling your house as a violation.
What do you mean?
That's the vibe they're trying to put out to their guests.
Letters on your house for.
Hey, c'est la vie. Come on in and relax.
How big is it? What do you mean?
It's big. It's big. It's in front. It's block letters, metal block letters. C'est la vie.
Oh, you mean it's not like a little sign or?
It's a sign. It's across the front of their doorway.
They thought it was clever.
That's a violation.
Well, I'm asking you. You think it's clever?
I mean, I would never hang that out front of my house. That maybe that could be inside the house.
Exactly.
Right.
Like signage on your house, is that cool or not?
Well, maybe they want people to know that it's the C'est la vie house.
How about the number 10? Like their house number. That's not good.
A good old fashioned address.
It's the C'est la vie house, or it's 10. Come on. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
For 4:30, Mike Missinelli Show, and it is time to update our Twitter poll, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, with Natalie Aganoff. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,200 votes on this. Is Sean Rodriguez right about the Phillies fans? 16% say yes, 84% say no. So everybody says no.
Alrighty. Just looking at my Twitter during the break. Dan, at MikeMiss975, you're acting like Sean Rodriguez is a second-year utility guy. Dude has been in the league for over 10 years. He's a veteran. He has over 2,860 plate appearances. He has standing. He also has a career .220 average. He has no standing. All right? I don't care how many at-bats he has. He's managed to hang in on baseball for reasons that are fairly unclear to me. But utility guys have the lives of backup quarterbacks. They hang in there, and they hang in there, and they hang in there, and they hang in there. All right, back to the phones. Corey, he's calling from I-95. What's up, Corey?
What's up, Mike? How's everybody doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Yo, I mean, it's Sean Rodriguez thing is kind of funny and it's maddening at the same time. Like, who is the guy I think he is, man? He's been here for 30 seconds and he was a criticized.
Listen, Pimple Muscles last night hit the home run and won the game.
Man, listen, if I'm at the supermarket and the bagger only puts 1 or 20 groceries in my bag, he getting booed too. I mean, does he realize what his performance is, man? I mean, I'm lost at why he would make these comments that he would make. Even, you know, Bryce Harper, the face of the team, if not the face of the league, has said when he's doing poorly, you know, fans would tell him and he appreciates that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope this, I mean, some of the personalities on this team are really annoying, man. I really like to like this team, but saying stuff like this, Gabe Kapler wearing a nickname on the black jersey they had this weekend was ridiculous. I mean, he's a manager. Why are you walking around with a nickname on his jersey, man? Come on.
I don't understand why baseball thinks that's a good idea to put the nicknames on. What is it? In honor of the Little League World Series? So like,
for the players, it's cool, man. But
why is it cool for the player? Who cares? If I have a nickname in a clubhouse and they call me that in a clubhouse, I don't have to put it on my jersey. It looks stupid.
I don't agree with that. For a manager, yes. I mean, can you imagine Bobby Cox or Dallas Green wearing some nickname on their shirt when they were managing, man? Come on. I mean, it wouldn't happen. You know who are these guys, man?
It's supposed to be everybody. Everybody has to do it. That's a major league mandate, I guess. I don't know.
No, I don't believe that, Mike.
I think the nicknames thing is preposterous. I really do. Well, what's the matter, Mike? You against fun? Come on. Nicknames. Little League? Professional players, put the damn name on the back of your jersey.
The NBA does it, I think, once a year.
And it's stupid there, too.
And I think the NHL does it.
There's no reason to do it. None.
I think it makes the fans connect with the team.
Oh, really? So we're going to go around calling Dickerson Dick?
Well, DC.
It makes me connect to his team more. Cecita makes me connect more with a guy that I don't like
anyway. It doesn't work in baseball. It does work in hockey. No, hockey fans love saying the nickname.
They love
the nickname. No, it works with hockey.
You know how I feel about hockey nicknames.
I know, but works with hockey.
Yeah, I don't need
nicknames. It absolutely works.
I don't need nicknames. The last name of the guy on the back of the jersey, that's good enough.
And baseball, we don't really know the guys. The other sports, we kind of feel like we know them. Like, we feel like we know Embiid. We feel like we know Simmons. Do we really feel like we know Rhys Hoskins? Like, I don't know him.
Hi, my name's Sean Rodriguez. I'm from San Jose, California. And my favorite food is spaghetti. And my nickname is Chi-Chi. Come on. Let's go to Sean in Upper Darby. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Sean?
So, yeah, with the Sean, right, I'm watching the game last night. I didn't sleep. And
we got a bad connect.
I listen to you guys all the time.
Yes, go ahead, Sean. Start all over. We had a bad connect there.
All right, I'm sorry. So I'm watching the game last night, waiting to go to bed. He comes up the bat. I'm looking at his numbers. I listen to you guys all the time, and I'm like, yeah, this guy, you know, I mean, what you going to do, right? He hits the home run, and I'm like, wow, this is great. Good for him. Good for the team. Good for the win. I wake up today, and I hear all this stuff. And the big thing that stuck out to me about what he was saying was when he was talking about fans, he said, you know, there's a lot of good fans out there. That's who I listen to.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's not the truth, because you went on this rant. You're listening to the so-called bad fans that are giving you the grief.
Yeah, well, he was trying to make up for it, like saying what he said, and then he goes, "But you know, but there are a lot of good fans. So the ones I listen to. Apparently, he listens to the bad ones because he got all irked about it. He doesn't listen totally to all the guys, and there are many of them that say, "Hey, Sean, keep doing your thing." You know, that's drowned out. That's drowned out by the bad fans.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. Like, they're saying that to him.
All right.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
All right, but like I said, I'm on the hunt for one guy who would say, hey, Sean, keep doing your thing. I'll pay cash money, green money, to find a guy.
I bet you it was his wife.
Is there a private investigating company that can help me out here?
Yes. They need to get one of those parabolic microphones.
You want what? I want you to find a guy that said, hey, Sean, keep doing your thing. I'll pay. What's your rate? Well, it's going to cost you like $500 an hour. Done. Just find me the guy.
Just do your thing, Mike.
Andrew.
Just do your
thing. Andrew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on?
I got a question for you, Mike. In a clutch situation, who do you have more faith in, Andrew Knapp or Sean Rodriguez in a big situation?
Well, I see, I at least I have seen, well, both of them have hit game-winning home runs. Knapp actually hit a titanic game-winning home run earlier this year. I don't know. Knapp is a switch hitter, so I got to go, okay, Knapp right-handed against a left-hander or Sean Rodriguez right-handed against left-hander? What would you do?
I'd forfeit.
See, that's the point. Like, that's the best they can bring off the bench.
Like, I don't mean to sound like bad news here, but I see like three guys in this whole roster that I seriously would keep for the starting nine.
For next year?
Yeah.
Oh, who are the three?
I got Harper. Okay.
Yeah.
Hicks. He's the only guy in the outfield that sticks. The other two positions, I got the now hiring sign out there for like left field and center field.
Well, you got McCutcheon coming back next year, so.
Okay. All right. Well, McCutcheon, yeah, okay. In the infield, I mean, I'm scared about Reese. I don't think he's up. And this whole thing, him hitting leadoff, is not waking him out of his slump. It's kind of knocked him down a couple of spots, Mike, don't you think?
I originally thought that giving him more at-bats was going to be a good thing, but it's not been, except for the fact that he'll occasionally walk. I'm worried mostly that not him. I don't want him walking. I want him getting out of it by swinging the bat. I don't need him to walk in the leadoff hole. I need him to hit in the 4 or 5 hole.
Groove him a fastball right down the middle on the first pitch, and he watches it every night. Like,
because he's trained to watch pitches. That was the old hat hitting coach, and so Charlie has not been able to break him of that yet.
And real quick, Mike, about Clowney, they had a thing that they just posted that he prefers us or Seattle as his destination.
Yes.
And they say that Houston is looking for wide receivers. Can we possibly, like, ship them Aguilar for Clowney? I mean, they got a school of wide receivers.
I would do that in a second, to be honest with you. Now, whether the Eagles will do that, I can make Greg Ward my slot receiver. If I'm getting Clowney for Aguilar, I'm doing that deal.
Yeah, because they're both rentals for both teams.
Yes,
Aguilar's not going to be back.
Now, I'm assuming that the Texans think they can get draft picks for Clowney, which would help them more than a guy like Aguilar on a 1 year deal.
They want a player and a pick. Some say receiver, some say offensive line. Now, Seattle would not. That's why the Dolphins have emerged, because the Dolphins pick, they assume, would be better than the Eagles or the Seahawks, who are probably both playoff teams. But at the same time, if he says, I'm not going to report, he has not signed that tender.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically has a no trade clause. Because they traded to Miami, he just goes, well, I'm not going to sign the tender, so don't trade for me.
Yeah.
So he can force his hand a little bit.
At first, I thought it was this impossibility. I never even considered it. But since he's brought it up that he wants to be traded to the Eagles or Seahawks, maybe it's possible. Who knows? That'd be a hell of a rotation.
Now you're talking about the defense.
Now I don't worry about Barnett anymore. No, I'm worried about Barnett. I don't know if he's fragile or not.
We'll find out. And Graham is older. But now you don't have to worry about. You got a nice rotation with those three guys. You might even stand Clowney up at times and do some different exotic stuff.
Mm-hmm. But, like they did with Connor Barwin, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you can do some crazy stuff. But
All right, so the guy said that he would only keep three players in next year. That's not going to be feasible for the Phillies, because they have to bring back mostly the whole team. But let me go down the list. Reese, keeping him?
I am.
All right. Cecita.
Nope.
You're not keeping Cecita?
No, I am not.
No keep?
No keep.
How about El Mambo?
Don't have a choice. So, yeah.
You got to keep El Mambo?
Got to keep him.
All right. And now your third base situation. What are you going to do there?
I'm either going to bring the kid up or I'm going to outside hire. But Jetpacks is playing second for me. So I don't know.
You're giving rid of Cecita and you're putting Jetpacks in there.
Jetpacks is second, yeah.
Okay.
Every day, no more platooning. Right, so he's second base.
Cutchin comes back as your left fielder. Yep. Center fielder is a big hole.
Right now, it has to be the guy you don't like, unless they pay somebody. And I don't know if they're going
to
have enough.
They have to upgrade that position.
I don't know if they're going to have the money.
They can't play Hazley.
I disagree. He's going to take a leap similar to Jetpack's leap from year 1 and 2.
I think you've been smoking bad stuff, dude.
Tyrone's going to really be great out there in center field.
Let's go to a break. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
.47 on the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Very active day on the phones today. Thank God for Sean Rodriguez. What would we have talked about? Sean Rodriguez didn't say that last night. What? Do we have anything that was pressing?
I mean,
I love guys light it up for us.
Yeah. Until Deshaun broke his finger, no.
Oh, that's right. Deshaun broke his finger.
Yeah, he's getting a custom splint, so definitely no surgery. And apparently the custom splint has been done for other players. He'll be able to catch with it, so.
All right. Sounds good. Have you been catching Hard Knocks?
At first it was boring, mm-hmm. So I was half watching.
Yeah.
So.
It is boring season.
Because they didn't really lean into the Antonio Brown stuff. Without that, not a great cast.
He's annoying. He's too annoying for me. I can't watch him.
He is annoying.
He's totally annoying.
Yeah.
Grates on me.
Grated on Pittsburgh, too. They paid a bunch of money to get rid of him.
No, not Antonio Brown. Gruden.
Oh, yeah, Gruden.
Gruden's annoying.
Yeah, he is annoying.
As the star of the show, he's annoying.
He is annoying. He, I don't know. I don't think it's going to work this time. I think if they're not successful, he's the type of guy that's pretty easy to tune out because he gets on your nerves. They better get off to a good start or those players will be jumping ship on him.
All right. By the way, I watched The Affair, the first episode.
Now, did you like it? You were down on it.
It's a totally different storyline, so I have no idea what's going on now. So I missed the last season.
Oh.
So I know, but Anna Paquin has emerged as a character on it.
You like her?
No, but she plays a weird part all the time, and she's playing a weird part in this one.
Why?
Like, I liked her as Sookie.
What was what?
In that vampire show.
Oh, in the True Blood.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Yeah, it was interesting for about a season.
That's what a lot of people said.
Yeah, but see, The Affair now, they killed off the girl who he had the affair with because she wanted more money.
Oh,
that's what I found.
How?
So they killed her off.
Right.
And but Joshua Jackson's also off the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's a completely new show. It's like...
Peace, Pacey.
And Jimmy in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jimmy.
Yeah, Mike. Question. I think the only position that Reese Hoskins hasn't batted in, is ninth. When he was hitting his home runs and doing a good job, he was batting second, third, or fourth. I think Remuto was fourth, Harper was second, and Hoskins was third. And they moved him to first. And as the leadoff batter, he's gone downhill. Why can't they see this?
I don't know why they keep this up. Again, this is one of these Gabe Kapler mysteries. There's no reason for it, really. Originally, I thought it was to get him more at-bats to get him out of a slump. But now it's like, you know, they don't feel they have a true leadoff hitter and he has a good on-base percentage, but it doesn't make any sense.
The only reason it makes any sense to this jackass manager we got is because he takes balls and strikes. He sits there and walks a lot. And he wants his leadoff batter on first. And McCutcheon, when he got hurt, we lost him. So that's why Kapler, who's a jerk, puts him up in the leadoff spot.
All right. Who's your leadoff hitter? You're making a lineup. Who are you putting in the leadoff spot?
Oh, the shortstop.
Segura?
Yeah.
Yeah, he really didn't do a very good job.
Put Segura in there, put Harper second, and put Hoskins third, and put Remuto fourth.
Yeah, well, Segura's numbers in the leadoff spot weren't very good, so they probably don't want to go back to that.
But look what happened. If somebody has the stats, does a Tyrone or anybody have any stats that shows what his average dropped when he moved to first from where he was? That's a pretty easy thing to
look
up.
It started really after the All-Star break when they came back out of his slump. But
but look at where he was batting.
Yeah, he was. He didn't start off in the leadoff spot when they came out of the break. So this is like probably what? 2 weeks old that he's been in the leadoff hole.
No. I'll bet you it's closer to a month.
I'll have to look at the lineups.
That's not true! Look.
Yeah, it's not been a month, Jim.
Tyrone, hold that thing down. I like you a lot.
It hasn't been a month. Because a month would be like 25 games. It hasn't been 25 games.
I'll bet you nickel it's closer to a month than 2 weeks.
All right.
But I don't know.
All right, the over-under's 25. You take the over? You think more than 25 games he's been the leadoff? I say under.
I'll say over.
All right, keep listening.
Now, how do we handle it?
Keep listening, Jimmy. You're going to owe me what do we bet? 5 cents?
We'll go out and get a cold one, Mike.
All right. You can mail me a nickel.
I'll buy either way.
All right. You got it, Jimmy. Keep listening, and we'll have the answer to that question.
I'm looking it up.
How many times has he been in the leadoff hole? I would say it's probably been like maybe 15. Let's get Bud in Drexel Hill. Bud, you're on 97.5. Well, yeah. What's up, Bud?
Yeah, listen. I'm responding to that Rodriguez thing. I've been watching baseball since 1948, and I know a lot about baseball. And this team over here is just a mediocre ball club. I don't care what anybody says. They booed this guy, this bum over here, don't even belong in the majors. And not only that, they booed Mike Schmidt here, the greatest player in the Philadelphia history over here. I heard them boo Mike Schmidt. Now, this guy thinks the fans should, they pay their money, they should be able to get out there and do whatever they want to do as far as booing goes. But Hoskins, I mean, they got this guy in the leadoff spot. Where's this manager's mind at? That's what and Franco's back down in the minor leagues, and they're keeping this guy over here, Rodriguez. What's going on?
Well, I'm just giving you their spiel on it. They believe that Rodriguez can play multiple positions and Franco can't, and he's not a good pinch hitter. Now, that's to assume that Rodriguez is, and his numbers are terrible. So, it has not been productive to have Sean Rodriguez as your backup player.
This guy is got one of these things about all these guys playing different positions. In my day in baseball, defensive ball players were a dime a dozen. The hardest thing in sports to do is to hit a baseball.
Yeah, well, he's not a good defensive player either. I mean, where is he a good defensive player? He's probably inadequate at every place they put him. My man, old school guy.
Yeah, but since
48, and he's a bum. I've been watching baseball since 48, and he's a bum.
That guy needs to call back and give you your money.
Seven times. Reese Hoskins has been in the leadoff hole 7 times.
A month.
Come on, man. Send me a beer. All right, 5 o'clock hours ahead. Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.